say that with a heavy heart. This really is a bittersweet show. It really is. This is the Alex Dono Show here on WQAM. Very ham-fisted way to open the show. Because we are saying goodbye and happy trails to Tito Banach. Tito Banach, who actually switched into this shift. And I actually really appreciated that you wanted to work one more show with me.
Of course.
Before you ride off into the sunset and move up to Connecticut.
Right.
So this, I guess today's not technically your last day. Like, you're working a shift on Sunday. This is your last show that you're working.
Yes, this is the very last Dono show that I'll be doing.
Like, I'm legitimately sad because you have done great work. How long have you been here?
A year and a half.
It's been a great, in all seriousness, this guy works very hard, very creative. I probably enjoy your food takes more than anyone else in this building, right? Like, most people discourage Tito's food takes.
You were the only one that gave me the platform to allow my food takes to happen, so yes.
So this is his last show? It was weird. Like, I found out for sure that you were working tonight yesterday. So you switched into this shift with Manny Chang, right? You took Manny Chang's shift?
Yes.
So I when I saw Manny yesterday... Yeah, he worked with me last night, and Manny was like, oh, Tito's working tomorrow night. And my legit reaction was, oh, that's great, because, you know, I want to work with him one more time. And then Manny looks at me, he's like, he's taking food out of my daughter's plate. And I think he was serious. Like, he was too nice to say no to let you have this final shift, but I don't think he's happy about it, because I think he wanted to make a few extra bucks. But listen, man... I mean, Manny told me 3 months ago he was never working another show anyway. So I feel like any show that he does work is like extra money in his pocket. So I hope he's not taking that too personally.
Well, we make this the best Dono show that's ever happened.
We're going to. So everyone, if you're going to text us tonight at 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, don't text and drive. But I do encourage you, in addition to your sports takes, your food takes, your angry Miami Hurricanes and Miami Dolphins texts, wish Tito a farewell. Because if Tito, I'm guessing he's got the text line open over there, he'll be happy to see those nice messages. Because Tito legitimately has busted his ass at this radio station for the last year and a half. And I am sorry to see him go. And also, while you're on the internet tonight, do me a favor, because I stumbled upon something yesterday that drove me insane. So I had never checked this before. You know, every show on this radio station, every show has a podcast, right? And the podcasts are not only available at WQAM.com, they're available, I would assume, wherever you get a podcast from on Android. I don't have an Android, so I don't know much about that. But of course, it's available on iTunes. Every podcast we do on this radio station, every show has a podcast, and they're available on iTunes. So I actually clicked on my own podcast on iTunes yesterday, and I realized you can see there right on the front page how many stars I get. So this was like when I discovered a year or two ago that I could see my own Uber rating. So I actually discovered, oh, what are my ratings like? How many stars do I have as a podcast? And it's driving me insane that I only have a 4.5. But it's not just the fact that I'm 4.5 and not 5 stars. Let me tell you why I'm 4.5. I think there's only actually 9 people who have bothered to give me reviews, which is kind of shameful. So please go onto iTunes, give me a 5-star review. If you don't want to give me a 5-star review, don't even bother logging in. But if you'd like to give me a 5-star review for my pod, go onto iTunes and do that. The reason why I'm at 4.5 stars and not 5 stars is somebody actually went out of their way to leave a written review with 3 stars saying, Dono, I love you, but I hate Omar Kelly. You have him on too much, so I'm only leaving you 3 stars. Like, what? And Omar Kelly's joining me tonight, by the way. So try not to hold that against me. Omar's going to join me in around 11 minutes to talk some Miami Dolphins, but drove me insane that somebody out there went out of their way to say, I really enjoy you and I really enjoy your show, but I don't like Omar Kelly, so I'm going to give you 3 stars, not 5 stars. First of all, I love Omar Kelly. I think he's a great radio guest. I think the fact that a lot of you love him and a lot of you hate him, you all have an opinion on the guy, means he's a great radio guest. I will keep having Omar Kelly on. But it's kind of ridiculous to say you really like me and you like my show, except for that 15 minutes one day a week when you have Omar on. So I'm going to give you 3 stars instead of 5 stars. It's screwing with my head. So Tito, hopefully your last order of business here is to get on that damn iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. If you'd like to get in tonight, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Here we go. Here's a goodbye message to Tito on the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line. Bye, Tito. Good riddance. Signed, your friend Manny Chang. You're taking food out of his daughter's plate.
Coming after me, man.
You realize what you're doing over there. Oh, man. I stumbled upon something on Twitter about an hour ago. So this is from a website, which, listen, I haven't read a lot of their stuff, but just based on this one article, it sounds like a clown show. This is from, does anyone go to this site, Florida Football Insiders? Florida Football Insiders published a headline as follows. Is Miami Hurricanes head coach Mark Richt coaching for his job the next 2 weekends? It appears that way. Wait, so hold on. That's the type of clickbaity sports headline. Is Mark Richt coaching for his job over the next 2 games? It appears that way. You expect to see headlines like that if you're a big soccer fan. You know what it's like to see clickbaity, usually from the British tabloids, transfer rumors, like summer transfer window, January transfer window. There's so much nonsense. I think soccer is the leading sport in really bad clickbaity tabloid headlines. I felt like I was reading one of those transfer window headlines when I saw this today. Is Mark Richt coaching for his job over the final 2 games? It appears that way. I'll tell you why it appears not that way, but here's some of what they had to say. You know, they went on, they started the story recapping, oh, Randall Thrill Hill was on Hockman and Crowder. He's really angry. Warren Sapp posted an angry tweet a couple of weeks ago. Well, Warren Sapp is always angry about everything, but they continue. So that brings us to Saturday afternoon in Blacksburg, Virginia against the Hokies. Miami had better be sharp, whether it's redshirt freshman Nkosi Perry-Bowell, he is back at quarterback, or Malik Rozier, the Canes have to have a good performance and win. If not, there will be an uprising headed to the final game at home with Pitt, and you will hear more and more about how Mark Richt may potentially losing the final 6 games of this season, his grammar is terrible, will cause him to be fired just 1 year after being undefeated late in a playoff picture at 10-0. And the critics are pointing to the losing stats above, where the breaks haven't been going Miami's way, and Richt can't figure out how to stop turnovers, bad penalties, missed tackles, and more losing. Now, if you're wondering about Richt's contract, he originally signed a 6-year deal in 2015, but the Canes actually extended that contract earlier this year through the year 2023. Although Miami is a private university, they write, and does not have to disclose coaching salary and contract terms, it is believed that Richt is making over $4 million a year, and Miami would have to pay him most or all of what remains on his deal. That should be in the neighborhood of $20 million, unless something else could be negotiated or there's an unknown out clause. Would that kind of financial buyout looming be enough to keep Richt around for another season, despite losing out in the final 6 games? Unfortunately for Hurricanes fans, we may be about to find out. Well, first of all, yes. If it would take $20 million to buy him out, yes, that will keep him from getting fired. And if there are conversations being had right now among trustees and boosters and people close to that program about raising money, it's not raising money for the buyout. I'm sure they're talking about how can we improve the coaching staff? How can we raise the funds that Mark Richt would need to bring in a more capable offensive coordinator who can call plays? They're not seriously thinking about firing Richt right now, nor should you be as a fan. I think that could set the program back even farther. I don't expect him to resign. I don't expect him to be fired. And I don't think the trustees and the boosters are having serious thoughts and conversations about that. I think there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. But Mark Richt will absolutely be given another year or two or three to figure out the answers to those questions by himself. The investment made in that man and in his staff is too much for them to pull the rug out from under him right now. It's not a thought being had. And honestly, if you go to sleep at night stressed because you're on this fire-ricked bandwagon, and I don't think that you represent the majority of the fan base. I think you represent a minority, but if that's your thought process, if you're going to sleep at night and you're saying your prayers before you go to sleep, hoping that that man loses his job, my advice to you would be stop stressing over that because it's not going to happen. Start focusing on other things. Start focusing how Mark Richt can find a way to fix these problems, even though some of them were by his own creation. He is going to get a chance to fix these things before they seriously have these conversations. Also, here's a nice message for Tito. Good luck, Tito. Enjoy Connecticut and the New England weather. Go UConn Huskies. That might actually be from Manny Chang. He loves UConn.
I'm a USF guy, so I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that.
You're going to be way farther away from your alma mater, though.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah, that's a fact.
It's going to be tough. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. But right now, I want to talk about Osmani Garcia. Guys, if you're thinking about selling your house and you're willing to make a move before the end of the year, you need to call Osmani Garcia with Keller Williams Realty. And here's why. Osmani Garcia of the Omega Home Selling Team, guys, he's got a database of buyers that are in waiting right now. He has over 473 buyers looking to buy a home right now in the South Florida area. And Osmani actually guarantees in writing that if he doesn't sell your home, he's going to pull out his checkbook and buy your home. So think about that. He's got buyers ready to buy, a lot of them. And if he doesn't sell your home, Osmani buys it himself. So here's what you do. You call our friend Osmani Garcia at 1-888-411-HOME. Guys, he sells homes for more money. Sells homes for at least 3% more money than the average agent. That's $12,000 on a $400,000 house, for example. And most importantly, because this adds so much to the convenience, he sells these homes faster. While the typical agent is going to take somewhere between 120 to 180 days to sell a home, very slow, Osmani and his team sell homes in 59 days or less. That's why they're the home of the 59-day sale guarantee. When you sell with Osmani, your home is more likely to sell. So call my guy Osmani, and he will sit with you. He'll establish a price and a deadline. And if that deadline passes and your home isn't sold, Osmani will buy it himself for cash. In other words, there's no risk to working with Osmani. He offers a one-day listing agreement. If after one day Osmani does not do his job, you're free to get out of that contract. But don't worry, guys, he always does his job. You're not going to have to do that. Call Osmani. Call the only guy, and I mean this, the only guy that I would call to sell my home at 1-888-411-HOME, the home of the 59-day sale guarantee. And after you call Osmani, you can start packing. The Alex Dono Show continues next. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Okay, so you got to tell me what this song is, Tito, because this used to be one of the songs I played, do it when I was DJing college radio, like 11, 12 years ago.
LCD Someone Great. LCD Sound System.
Okay. See, that I know I've heard the song. That the name doesn't ring a bell, but how old is this song?
Oh, I don't know. I could look it up, but off the top of my head, I don't know.
I feel like this is one of the songs I used to play a lot when I DJed a show at WVUM.
Great song.
Well, they're only like, because you know, it was like a lot of like really, to me, like nails on a chalkboard indie music. So I'd find like the 15, 20 songs I actually liked. And I think this was one of them. I would just play them over and over again because the other songs were just awful, in my opinion. I mean, you have to be like a real, total, like, indie geek to find this to be good music. So I used to play the same 20 songs. It happened at least twice in, like, my 3 years doing this that, like, a music director had to sit down with me and be like, hey, listen, you got to branch out a little bit more. You're just playing the same songs over and over again. So, yeah, those are the only songs that I like. Well, then maybe you shouldn't be doing this.
Don't censor my music selection.
Yeah, it was terrible. One guy I would never censor is Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And Omar's had a busy week, man. What has it been, the last 2 days? You've done a little midday action, Omar. How you doing, man?
Yeah, two shifts of midday action. You know, I'll take any shift as long as they tell me that you're going to have to fill in for Alex Donald. And I'm like, oh, my God, heavy lifting.
Well, what is it like? And you've said it before that you feel like this is that this 6 to 10 p.m. is the toughest shift in radio. I'm so used to it now because I've been doing it for like 4.5 years. But what is it about this shift that makes you feel like this is the toughest one to do?
One, with sporting events going on at this time, people are already watching it. They're
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. They're not paying attention to that. Then people aren't driving, or generally, you know, maybe you're getting them in the 6 o'clock hour, so they're driving and paying attention. And who's at home really listening to their radio? I don't want to, defame QAM listeners, but you know, on a Friday night at 6 o'clock, I'm actually at KYU restaurant right now. We just ordered. Nice. I stepped out so I could do my interview.
Look at you.
I'm living my life. So I would expect everybody in South Florida, this is a beautiful day. Weather's great. You should be living your life, not listening to Sports Talk Radio.
Wow. So basically what Omar Kelly has just done is said that none of you should be listening to this right now.
Everybody listening, stop what you're doing. Go put on your good pair of jeans. Go put on your nice shirt and tell your wife, baby, it's time to go out. I'm taking you out. And give her an hour to get ready because, you know, that's how long it's going to take.
Yep.
Well, first tell her to go get ready. Tell her we're leaving here at 7:30 and let's go and go live your life.
Wow. Well, you see, you're making me feel like I should be living my life. And also, I found out
something. Oh, you got a baby. Your life is over.
Oh, yeah. My life has been over for 8.5 months. It's fine. I'm used to it. No, and then I was listening today, Omar, to Hockman and Crowder. And apparently Hawk, Crowder, and Falero, they're all just taking the entire week off next week. So I'm getting very jealous now, right? Because you know me, Omar, I don't take a whole lot of days off. I actually haven't taken I take vacations, but I haven't taken a sick day since 2013.
I don't feel sorry for you. You go to Japan when you vacation. So what do you want me to do?
Well, but again, not that's not going to happen for years now that the baby is in my life. So my life
true.
Is completely over.
You got that out the way. You got that out the way.
But I heard that Hawk, Crowder, and Falero are all taking the entire week off next week. When I got an email last week from our boss or a couple weeks ago, you know, about next week, I just said, oh, let me have Thanksgiving Day off. I'll work all the other days. Now I feel like a putz for agreeing to work those days. Like I feel like I'm getting shaken down or something working all these days.
Hey, man, you just had a baby. You know, you can't be turning the money away. So, you know, you got tuition to pay for.
That is
you
true.
Know, some tuition. Yeah. Any shift Danny calls me about, if I could do it, I'm doing it because you know this whole marriage thing is kind of expensive.
Yeah, that's right. You're getting into that soon. Let me ask you something about the Dolphins. I think you and Jason Leisure interacted about this on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken. I thought his piece was very interesting on Adam Gase saying, hey, you shouldn't be talking about firing him. You should be talking about extending him, you know, and he brought up
a,
well, yeah, and I want your thoughts on that, Omar, because you know, at this point, now that we're 2.5 seasons into Adam Gase's tenure, you're obviously not getting the results you want. You know, aside from they did sneak into the playoffs the first year, but you're not currently getting the results you want to get. But there certainly are a lot of other things happening around this team, surrounding injuries, other wacky circumstances. How do you evaluate Adam Gase 2.5 years in?
I start with a simple sentence, which is what his agent is going to say to Steve Ross or any prospective coach that any prospective owner that's looking for a head coach. His record right now is 21-21 in 3 years with the Miami Dolphins. Has led the team to the playoffs in one season, the only season where he's actually had his quarterback for the majority of the season.
Mm.
He's right now 21-21 and coached 25 games without his starting quarterback. Who does that?
I can't name you anyone who's done that, to be honest with you.
I know he can coach. I know he can coach. Now, do I know if he's an offensive guru? The jury's out on that. Do I know if he's a quarterback whisperer? The jury's out on that. I do know he can coach. I'm aware he can coach. You know, you're 21-21 and you're 5-5 with this roster. This roster, most people expected this roster wouldn't win 6 games.
Right.
You're 25 and you're 5-5 with this roster, and it's been decimated by injuries. It's got a horrible offense. It's got a defense that's last in the league in defending the run. You know, which is always the number one priority of defenses trying to do. So clearly, if you're 5-5 with all of that craziness going on, playing games without your offensive tackle, playing games with two receivers getting an injury, you know, playing games with two practice squad guys as your starting defensive ends, which they've had to do for a little stretch, you can coach.
You know, I think I've talked to you about this before, that, you know, one of my thoughts on Adam Gase is I think he's a lot more competent and a lot more better suited, a lot better suited for this job than fans give him credit for. I think maybe fans don't really understand some of this stuff. But you know,
fans don't know what they're talking about.
So my opinion on Adam Gase is, you know, if his tenure,
let me go on an Omar rant.
I love it
because only you allow me to do these Omar rants.
That's right.
You know why fans don't know what they're talking about?
Why?
Because every minute fans are saying, fire this guy.
Yes.
Fire that guy.
I just did a segment about how everyone wants to fire Mark Richt. Believe me,
okay,
I know.
Yes. And so when you fire somebody, you're starting fresh. The new guy's going to come in and say, I want to run a 3-4. And then all that you've built to the 4-3, not to say that there's much in the storehouse right now, because they really don't have much to build off on this team. But the next guy coming in is going to say, oh, I want to run a 3-4. Now you're going to spend 2 years getting 3-4 stuff, 3-4 players. You know, I want to run a West Coast offense. You're going to spend the next 2 years getting the West Coast offense, the West Coast players. And what people don't factor in is there's collateral loss.
Yeah.
When you keep switching from this guy to that guy to this guy to that guy. Now, if a head coach is like Cam Cameron and shows you he clearly can't get the job done, I can understand. And I do understand the crowd that says, Adam Gase isn't getting the job done. We haven't developed a quarterback. Look at this offense. This offense is a bottom dweller in every category that's important. And they are valid. Those are valid criticisms. But then you have to remind them, 25 games without your starting quarterback. What do you expect with Brock Osweiler as your quarterback? Like, what did you really expect with Brock Osweiler as your quarterback?
Now, do you have any idea or any inclination on how Stephen Ross might feel about this? Do you think that Adam Gase's seat is getting hot, or does he feel the way that you feel about this?
I think that Steve Ross is, and I think that he is emotionally, and I hate to say this because fans are going to take it the wrong way, he's defeated.
Mm.
And it's very, and I feel sad about it, and I'm it hurts my heart because I know how emotionally invested he is in this. But I sat down with him at an owner's meeting, and he expressed his frustration. He was like, "No matter what I tried, I'm great in the industry I'm in. I'm actually standing across from a real related building that's in front of the KYU restaurant, which literally they put up in like 5 months. He's
wow.
A master at what he does."
Yeah, but as an example of that, I see, because I'm at Hard Rock Stadium broadcasting live, you know, before every Hurricanes game. I'm there for every Dolphins home game. I see just how fast they built that damn tennis center, Omar. It's like it just appeared out of thin air. And when they did the Hard Rock renovations, that appeared out of thin air too.
He's a master at what he does. There's nobody really better at what he does than, you know, commercial real estate than him. But building a franchise, he admits, I've been horrible at it.
Wow.
I'm horrible. I'm horrible. And it's one of my major disappointments in life. I'm a failure at this. And that broke my heart, and I understood where he was coming from, because no matter what he tried, it didn't work. But the only thing that he's never done is he's never done a complete reset at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the only thing that's left to do. The problem is I can't name anybody that I'd want to give full power to and let them just decide everything and do everything.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I you know, while I'm not comfortable with the direction the franchise is and what they've done to build this franchise, I can't really name you anybody I'd rather give the franchise to. Now, if somebody pops up or somebody recommends a name, trust me, I've asked. The best thing that people could tell me is, hey, Peyton Manning, give him part ownership stake. Put him in control like John Elway. And even that, I can't guarantee you, is going to fix anything.
Yeah, right. How do we know he can do that? I mean, we may assume, Peyton Manning, he's a professional. He's great at everything he does, but how do we know that?
Look how great Michael Jordan's been as an owner. You know, the great players don't necessarily make great GMs or great coaches. So, you know, who knows?
How would you approach this upcoming draft? I understand we don't know what pick they're going to have in the first round, but Do you strongly consider, if you're in sort of that sweet spot in the top 11, top 12 that you're usually in, Do you really start thinking first-round quarterback? Is there another area you'd rather address? How do you look at that?
Well, today I had Tony Pauline on my show, and he went over the quarterbacks and basically said there's really nothing there. Unless you are absolutely falling in love with a player and he gets super hot, this is going to be a weak quarterback class. But I will say this. You're going to have to take one. I don't care if it's the first round, but I believe that you do not draft a quarterback early unless you absolutely love him. If you love him,
yeah.
Like I love Colin Kaepernick, like I love Joe Flacco, like I love Jimmy Garoppolo, if you love him, take him and don't look back and don't have any doubts or regrets. But if you don't love him, don't take him. So I'm always going to be a best player available kind of position kind of guy. And I know without a doubt this is going to be a good defensive draft. And the Dolphins damn sure need a defensive tackle.
Yep. And on that note, the team has a lot of injuries, a lot of players banged up right now. Fair to say the bye week kind of came at the perfect time for this team.
Yeah, Adam Gase put it best when he said, I'm not even sure I would have had 46 to line up to play the game. And it's true.
Yeah.
Considering the two injuries that he just suffered at wide receiver, you know, the fact that he's trying to get his offensive tackles back. You know, Andre Brandt suffered a separated shoulder. Don't know if you would have had 46 to put out there. But I think that this is at a perfect time. Hopefully they can heal up. Hopefully they get Ryan Tannehill back. And they give this a go and give it a put their best foot forward in the final six games. Hopefully 3-3 is my goal for this team. So hopefully they get there.
Well, Martin, you may have seen these headlines yesterday about Patrick Mahomes from Kansas City. Would you ever put ketchup on steak?
Yes, I would.
Wow!
In fact, when I'm cooking steak at home, sometimes ketchup makes a great gravy. So when you're sauteing a steak, you have a little caramelized butter down there.
I'm in shock.
Ketchup brings it out.
We're
ketchup
on complete different ends of the spectrum.
You've just made Tito angry. And Omar, you realize today is Tito's last show. He's moving next week. You've just made him very angry.
Listen, it's all good, Tito. Hopefully you enjoy where you're going. But, I mean, do you cook, Tito? I try. I consider myself a chef.
I see you on Instagram. You do chef quite often.
Sometimes, trust me, ketchup, I mean, all of this is really tomato-based sauce. Now, I'm not saying that when I cook, I don't really like steak sauce. I'll eat a steak completely dry.
Right.
I don't need anything on it. Oh, I love a little Churrasco.
Yeah. Now you're speaking my language with the Churrasco.
I will say this. When you're cooking that steak, put a little ketchup on the bottom of the frying pan. It brings out a little bit of flavor.
Well, but okay, so you're more talking about like the ketchup, you like combining with the juices of the steak, combining with some butter.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a little bit different than what like Pat Mahomes is doing, where he's taking the ketchup bottle and just pouring it on the steak.
He's never had a good steak.
And Omar, like I said this yesterday, that the person who puts ketchup on steak is probably the same person who orders the steak well done.
Oh, absolutely. If you order a steak well done at a steakhouse, I have no belief that you actually have any taste buds.
Now we're coming around. We'll end it right there because you hit the high note, Omar. I will let you enjoy your dinner tonight.
I'm like Costanza. End it on a high note. Just walk off.
Exactly. Follow this man on Twitter at Omar Kelly and check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Thank you so much.
All right. No problem.
All right. So I think I jumped all over him with a ketchup thing, but I guess what he's saying is, like, the ketchup, it gets mixed with butter and the juices, and it kind of becomes, like, a ketchup-based flavor.
It's a
little more acceptable.
I don't know. I'm still on the – because when he said ketchup on steak, I was concerned. And then he mentioned gravy, which I'm not a fan of. He lost me.
Yeah, you were completely lost, and he pissed you off on your last day. That's not good.
Hey, it's his food takes. I can't tell him he's wrong on his food takes, but I can't say that – He can't not like ketchup on a steak. You can like it, just not proper.
How do you like your steak cooked?
I'm a medium guy, but I tend to err on the side of safety and go medium well if I don't trust the place.
Yeah, I mean, I try for medium rare. I'm similar. Like here, medium rare is my preference, but if I don't trust the place, I'll go medium.
Right.
I never go above medium. Because I think anything above medium to me, it's like you might as well just be eating a really cheap steak and it doesn't really make a difference. I don't know.
Fair point.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I'm going to talk some more NFL in the 7 o'clock hour, 7:20. I think sometimes people enjoy when we bring in like a different perspective and a national perspective. Gary Myers is a Hall of Fame voter for the National Football League, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, I should say. He's written a book actually about the Dallas Cowboys called How About Them Cowboys. There's a lot to get into there, I think, with, you know, especially the tenure of Jimmy Johnson, Michael Irvin's time in Dallas. We can tie it locally. Not to mention, I think he's got some nuggets on, you remember when Johnny Manziel was drafted, how Jerry Jones wanted Johnny Manziel. It was his son, Steven, that convinced him not to go in that direction. I think there was some fallout there. There's probably more of that story to tell. And since Gary Myers is a Hall of Fame voter, Tito, I do want to ask him if he sees Zach Thomas ever getting into that Hall of Fame. I think that's something every Dolphin fan would like to know. Mark Clayton as well.
Also, just because it's happened so recently, the Terrell Owens debate, you know?
Yeah.
With what happened, obviously, in Canton this year.
That's
what
a great point.
On it?
Yeah, I would love that. I would love to hear his thoughts on that. So he's going to join us at 7:20. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
And based on some of the text messages I'm getting, sounds like some of these alleged Canes fans out there are practically rooting for this team to lose to Virginia Tech so they can really start having these conversations about Mark Richt's tenure going down in flames. Okay, it's hard enough for me to root against any of my teams, especially when you're talking about a college football team, because where's the upside to losing games, right? It's not like you can tank for a draft pick. You're not tanking for Tua Tagovailoa or sucking for Luck or tank season for the Miami Heat, you know, where Tito and I have been talking about how great it would be to have a top three draft pick that could maybe turn this Heat franchise around. There's no reward for losing six games in a row in college football. What's this reward you're looking for? Losing more recruits? Not having to go through the embarrassment of going to Detroit for whatever the Little Caesars Bowl is called now, or to the Independence Bowl in Shreveport? You call that a reward? I don't understand the upside to your bloodlust. If you think there's some light at the end of the tunnel, if this team ends up finishing the year 5-7, I cannot understand the thought process of some of you.
I'm just scared about making a bowl game, Dono. That's all I want. Just make a bowl game.
But you actually want it.
Yeah, I want it too. And I don't, I'm with you. I don't get the negative Nancys out there that want this team to lose out, because that makes no sense. It just looks worse for our program. And on top of that, right, they always say great coaches are the ones that adapt and could stay consistent. We've seen Nick Saban do it when he hired Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
If Richt is the great coach we've made him out to be, and maybe some of the listeners don't feel that way, but if he is, after the season ends, he will adapt and hire an offensive coordinator or possibly bring in that grad transfer that we're talking about, Kelly Bryant.
I believe there's going to be some changes made. I think those changes could include, and again, I'm not trying to take anybody's job. I'm just spitballing here. I think those changes may include a change at offensive line coach, may include a change in an offensive coordinator, somebody who calls plays, somebody who Richt trusts to do that. Some of you are, but I am not expecting to roll into 2019 with the exact same offensive staff. I'm not. I am expecting changes to be made there. So you're going to tell me, well, Dono, I don't expect any change to be made. Because look at Mark Richt in these press conferences. He doesn't even want to talk about changes. Take a step back and think about it. Of course he's not talking about making changes to his staff or to his quarterback position right now when you still have two games to play and one game you've got to win. I mean, you'd love to win the next two games, but you have to win at least one more game just to be bowl eligible. Do you honestly expect Mark Richt to step up to the podium on one of his Tuesday? Every Tuesday he addresses the media. Every Monday he's on with Joe Rose. Do you expect him to go to either of those interviews and say, yeah, you know what I want to talk about today? Wow, we've got to get a play caller next year. We've got to get a new offensive line coach. We've got to shake things up. Doesn't mean he's not thinking about it. Doesn't mean he isn't already in his mind planning out the way this offseason is going to go. Just because he doesn't want to talk about it to the media doesn't mean these things aren't going to happen. Texter writes in, well, they are rooting for a loss to expedite the departure of Rick as they feel he's a cancer to the program. Don't necessarily agree, but that's their line of thought. Well, I'm also telling you, with the salary he's being paid and with the fact that they just gave him a contract extension last year to 2023, they're not going to fire him. Even if you lose your next two games, he's not getting canned this year. I promise you that. I promise you. So in your mind, you're just expediting what's going to be another year before you can actually even entertain the thought of getting rid of Rick. And I'll tell you one thing. Tito, honestly, I wasn't all that confident in Miami's last couple of games, even heading into them. You know, I wasn't very confident before Georgia Tech. I wasn't even very confident before Duke at home. I'm feeling pretty confident about Virginia Tech tomorrow. I am.
Really? Wow, that's interesting. Where is this confidence coming from, if I could ask? I know that Virginia Tech's defense has been putrid this year.
It's a lot of that because I've actually gone through the trouble over the last couple of games to go watch some of Virginia Tech's games. I will come out and say it. I think that those of you who keep saying, oh, it's crazy to think Miami has a chance in Blacksburg, that's a tough place to play, look how bad Miami is right now. Anybody saying that has not watched a lick of Virginia Tech football over the last month or so. Because if you had, you would understand why I feel Miami has a very good chance of winning that game tomorrow. Just imagine how little confidence you have right now rooting for these Miami Hurricanes. And think about how Virginia Tech fans feel right now. They are shook. That team cannot stop a nosebleed defensively. Here's a little excerpt from the stateoftheu.com preview for the game. When you think of Virginia Tech, you think of a team that has a solid defense. But this ain't that year, folks. This Hokie squad is a team defensively that has seen much better days. I mean, they had Pitt drop 52 points on them last week. In four of their last five games, they have allowed over 400 yards of total offense, and Pitt nearly reached 700 yards last week. More shocking is their horrendous run defense. And this is why I think DJ Dallas especially and Cam Davis, like Cam Davis looked really good last week against Georgia Tech. I think he could go off this week. I think DJ Dallas is going to go off this week. Both Pitt and Georgia Tech ran the ball for over 400 yards against the Hokies. If Travis Homer and DJ Dallas can't have a field day against this defense, then the Canes are even more of a train wreck than we thought. I think that's going to be the key. This is going to be the week when Miami's offense gets off the schneid. 21 points scored last week, 12, 13, 14 the weeks prior to that. I think this is a week where they put up 30 or more. I do.
Can we also talk about something, Dono? You know, I don't like to beat my chest on here.
Okay.
Or maybe for the fans, because I know a lot of fans stood in this corner as well. Nikosi Perry, for as bad as the offense looked last week, he played a pretty good game.
He did. And that prompted Mark Richt to say on Tuesday that he thinks Nikosi Perry is turning a corner. He thinks right. Nikosi Perry is actually practicing better than he has been, taking charge a little bit more, reading defenses better. So really, I think Richt is now seeing something in Nikosi Perry to say, okay, this is not really the same guy that I benched in that Virginia game. I'm seeing more from this kid.
And I think Nikosi even admitted that he spent a lot more time. I believe Suzanne Miller-Degnan from the Herald quoted him saying that he spent a lot more time studying and reading coverages for Georgia Tech. Now, granted, there's still some improvements that could be made, but this is where I think a corner of the fan base was clamoring for him to continue to be the QB because you can see the growth, whereas with Malik Rozier, we kind of saw where his roof was already.
Yes, absolutely.
And it seemed like a missed opportunity with Richt why he went back to Rozier.
Yeah, you're right. We saw Rozier's roof last year. It was, you know, the Virginia Tech and Notre Dame games. He's a front-running quarterback. When everything is going right, when the defense is mauling people and giving you good field position, when you are able to, you know, to stay upright because the blocking was better at times last year than it is this year, when you have, you know, a more complete, healthy receiving core, because these guys really do miss Braxton Berrios. Again, I'm not making excuses for the talent. I wish Amon Richards was healthy. He's not. His career is over. but Braxton Berrios was gigantic for Miami last year. Malik Rozier was able to get him involved a lot. And you saw Malik Rozier's ceiling, or his roof, as Tito put it, in. This is a guy who can absolutely manage a team from a front-running position. When your defense is clicking on all cylinders, when your running game is working, that guy can absolutely manage an offense well to put up big points. But when the special teams is brutal, you have terrible field position. When the blocking isn't there, when the receivers are inconsistent, because you've got some talent there. Again, a guy like Lawrence Cager probably should be All-American and All-World, but he drops way too many passes. When everything isn't perfect, that's when Malik Rozier gets exposed. Whereas someone who's more talented, a little bit more accurate, in theory, like Nikosi Perry, he can elevate that talent around him at least a little bit more. You know VTech is bad, Texter writes, when Miami is favored in their house. And Miami is favored by almost a touchdown in that game. 6.5-point favorite. The line keeps going up, right? So listen, again, I know Miami isn't good right now and hasn't been good for over a month. I'm telling you, Virginia Tech is worse. I don't care if this game is being played in Blacksburg or on Mars. Miami is going to beat Virginia Tech tomorrow. And as a couple texters have pointed out, it does work in Miami's favor that it's not a night game. I mean, night games are always tougher in Blacksburg, no matter how crap that team is. I think the 3:30 start, and you're probably not going to have, maybe I'll eat my words on this one, but you're probably not going to have a sold-out house for that game, because Virginia Tech is bad and Miami is bad, so the enthusiasm there, it's Thanksgiving week coming up. A lot of college students are going to book it and head home even before, you know, mid-next week. So you're probably not going to have the usual fan turnout you would have there in Blacksburg. I think Miami's going to win this game. I'm not going to say it's going to be a blowout, because I wouldn't give this current Canes team credit to blow out anybody. But I think you're probably going to win by about 7-10 points tomorrow. 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show coming up.